Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is a longtime friend and Lord High Grand Kahuna of the Outdoors, Joe Arterburn. How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good, Rick. Pretty good. I thought I told you to quit calling me here.
Oh, well, you know, you can hide, but you can't get away totally.
All right.
So what have you been up to lately? I think you told me you were at the College World Series.
Oh, man, yeah, we went down there for first six games, and so saw a lot of good baseball, set in the heat, and ate hot dogs and brats.
Well, you know, that sounds like a great, what do I want to say, probably not the best dietary standpoint, but...
it's baseball.
Yeah, it's baseball. Why not?
Yeah. It's a great venue to, you know, watch baseball. Those kids are playing their hearts out.
Yep. I've heard a lot of people say they love going to the College World Series and stuff like that because they think it's actually better than watching the pros just because the kids are playing their hearts out and they have a love for the game.
They haven't been spoiled by all the money. I guess NIL might change some of that. A lot of those kids, it's going to be the last baseball they play. You know, some of them are going to get picked by the pros, but yeah, I mean, for some of them, this is it. So it's the pinnacle of their experience.
Did you play ball like that in high school or college?
Oh, no. I played a lot of baseball and should have followed up back in the day. You know, I went to Lincoln, and back in the day, I think it would have been a lot easier to walk on. I had a fraternity brother who, you know, basically said, hey, if you play baseball, you're any good, come walk on. But that was my freshman year, and I was like, I don't even know what I'm getting into here, so I better, you know. And I always regret that I didn't at least go try.
Well, you could have. Before we get into the outdoor portion of the show, do you follow Nebraska baseball?
Definitely. I mean, it starts, you know, in the spring is always fun to get watch them come out and see how they're going to do. You know, heck, they won the Big Ten and we thought we were going to go places, but it just seems like, boy, you know, the College World Series, it's tough to get there no matter how good a team you think you got put together. I mean, these teams that are there, there's just no weaknesses.
In with Nebraska baseball, did you see the young pitcher that got hit in the face with the 107-mile-an-hour ball coming off the bat?
Yes, that was horrible, terrifying.
I've watched Tucker grow up since he was about 8 years old, so I know he and his dad quite well, and he's a good kid. I'm glad to see he made it back.
Yeah, tough kid.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the outdoors. Let's talk about this is the season for camping to really get starting for a lot of people. You know, they're not like you and I where we'll camp at 20 below and chase deer with muzzleloaders.
All right.
So if somebody is relatively new to the sport, what type of gear should they be looking for? Let's start with cooking gear first. What do you recommend?
It can be as complicated or as simple as you want. You know, I basically started with, probably you did too, with a Coleman two-burner stove, you know.
Yep.
And, well, of course, you start with open fire or charcoal briquettes, that kind of thing, at established campgrounds. But people get pretty iffy about open fires on, you know, certain years. And plus, you know, a stove will just give you consistent heat, so it's actually more reliable and, you know, on cooking and that sort of thing. You can really whip up some good meals as long as you got consistent heat.
And
you know, like I said, the Colemans are the classics. You know, I've carried those camping. I've canoed them into the Canadian wilderness, you know, where you couldn't really have fires. But there's just a lot of different versions out there. I think Camp Chef has some cool ones now. I was thinking about getting one of these it's their gridiron game day. It's like a little two burner, but it comes with its own griddle. It's So it's like for tailgating.
Oh,
but
okay.
Man,
yeah.
You know, but it would be ideal for a camp situation, I think.
Is that one made by Camp Chef?
Yeah. Gridiron Game Day.
Camp Chef is good. I mean, and when you said griddle, I'm thinking about that griddle we've got for the three burner Camp Chef. Man, that thing takes 2 men to lift.
there's a lot of iron in
there. There's a lot of iron in that one. But like I said, you're not gonna break it.
yeah. And I've used, you know, I think it was a, you know, Coleman, you know, Teflon coated griddle, those kind of things mm-hmm. that fit right on a two burner. But I don't know, I think I'm kind of like you. And weight's not a consideration, you know. I'll go to the heavier iron stuff.
Yeah, they're not backpacking models. They're
No.
But, yeah, they're good. And like I said, when we set up a camp and we're cooking, we don't lack anything.
No.
I was writing an article about our camp, our turkey camp this year, and I said, you know, it's a primitive camp, but we don't lack anything. I said, you know, we don't have running water, but by God, the guy has a gasoline-powered margarita mixer. What more can you want in camp?
Well, you know, you gotta have some of the amenities.
Yeah, we do. Like I said, we really don't lack anything. It's good.
No.
When you mentioned the Coleman two-burner stoves, you probably started out with the old white gas stove like I did.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I still have some white gas.
How many?
Oh, you know, let's just say I'm not a hoarder, but I plan ahead.
I may be on the hoarder side because I think I got 3 2-burners and 2 3-burners if I really want to get spread out and have a lot of stuff cooking.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think I got, I got a 3-burner, I think 3 2-burners.
Yeah, well,
I got one favorite, you know. I always, it's very reliable.
I see a lot of people now, and there's been a lot of improvement, like Coleman and all the other outdoor companies, they're making the 2-burner propane ones. And those are a little easier probably for most people to start out with.
Oh, I think that's the smart way to go. You know, talk about consistent. You know, for one thing, white gas is a pain. You know, you got to refill the tanks, and looking up a propane bottle is pretty easy. And they make, even 2-burners that are pretty portable, single burners for that matter. But, you know, they're pretty portable.
Very much so. I mean, they collapse down like an attaché case, and you can go anywhere with them. If you're camping out of a small car, it's you got easily to find room for that one.
Right. Yeah, you can use the little 1-pound propane bottles for the or step up to the whatever 20-pounders, the big propane refillable.
It's about as easy as it gets, really.
Yeah.
It's easier to cook with one of those than starting a fire on the ground. We'll shift gears here. Probably the next thing you're going to need to think about is something, a shelter, a tent. What should somebody look for in a tent if they're getting started?
Well, it depends on how many people you have, and bear in mind when somebody tells you it's a 4-person tent, it's probably about a 2-person tent.
I've always looked at it that way. You know, whatever number they say, divide it by 2, and that's probably reasonable.
Yeah, they're talking about shoehorning people in elbow to elbow, you know, that sort of thing. But you know, I'm pretty big on more the wall tent style than pup tent or dome tents. Dome tents are fine. There's some that are real decent. I really like dome tents for all their durability, like in handling windstorms and rain, which you can get into some pretty nasty stuff once in a while.
Yeah, I seem to have a picture of a tent that you sent me, my tent, that did not survive the derecho down blast that night.
Right. Yeah, I wish you'd have been in it. It would have been a comical evening. I know that.
That That had been a great 10. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get something else similar to that one. I liked it.
Oh, you had to put it down?
Yes. It was after I got home and assessed it, it was just bent up in too many places that it was not worth it. And, I mean, Coleman had sent me that thing years ago, 10 years ago, I guess it was, so I didn't have a dime in it. But I hated to see it go. That was a nice model.
Yeah, actually, the design was cool. I like the roominess of it.
Yeah, it was.
Like I said, I'm not into, you know, crawling in on my hands and knees to get into bed. I want some space. I like a cot and a mattress pad and a nice warm sleeping bag. Days of sleeping on the ground, I'm kind of over that.
You know, with a salute to Pat McManus, I have noticed some of those same geophysical changes that he talked about, how the ground's getting harder, air is thinner, trails are steeper.
Ain't that the truth?
I set up a camp, and, you know, people that maybe have never camped with me, and it's kind of like in one of the camps that you do, they look at it and they go, "God, man, you don't lack for anything." I said, "Nowhere in the book does it say camping has to be uncomfortable."
Right. Yeah, you learn that quick.
You learn that exactly. You learn it quick.
Yeah. I would give a quick shout out to Montana Canvas. They got that new Bridger tent that you saw that I was sleeping in. Oh, man, that's probably the ultimate tent. I'm going to keep using that as our staff tent. I think we could probably get 3 people in there comfortably, and that's on cots and all the gear and stuff.
Right.
4,
right.
You know, 3 and a stove if you needed a stove in there. But it's their new one. They're pretty proud of it. It's not as heavy as those heavy duty canvas ones. So it's, I don't know. I'm kind of sold on that baby.
I show people pictures of like our camps and the wall tents and everything. I got one picture that turned out really good. It was at night, and everybody had the lights on in their tent, so it looked like little luminaries out there. And guys are looking at that going, "Holy smokes, you guys knew it right." And we said, "Well, yes, we do."
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but like you said, I'd rather be comfortable. You know, we work hard getting it set up, but then it just makes everything else for the rest of the trip go easier. That's why I kind of say, you know, take what you need and set it up right. Take your time, make it comfortable.
Sleeping bags, another one that you need to make comfortable. How do you determine what you need for a sleeping bag?
Get the warmest rated one you can find. That I always tell people to, you know, come to our camps, you know, bring, I'd rather have them complaining that they're too warm than they're too cold. You know, now of course, it's going to be 100 degrees or whatever here these days. So, and that makes it pretty easy to, you know, lighten up on that and get a summer weight bag. There's a lot of good ones out there. I've been looking at some Sea to Summit bags, and they go from, you know, the low negatives temperature ratings to summer rating. Then they also have, this is an idea, it kind of intrigues me, I guess. You know, they have like quilts. Instead of wrapping yourself up in a sleeping bag where, you know, it's really, you end up unzipping it and sticking your arm and leg out to cool off anyway, just have a quilt where you can kind of, it seems like that might be the way to go on these warm evenings.
That's kind of what I got in my bedroll. And the bedroll is like 3 different layers, so you can, you know, have more or less on top of you. But there's a quilt-looking component in there. It's actually what the Marine Corps called a poncho liner, I don't know exactly where the name come, but they call it a whoobie. And that one is a very functional piece of gear. And next time we're out together, you'll have to look at that.
Insulated or?
Yeah, it's insulated, and I don't know what's in it, but it does well. But it was made originally as a poncho liner. But you can wrap up in that and be perfectly comfortable.
Huh.
And it seems to breathe real well, too.
Oh, that sounds like the right idea.
Yep. Sounds like commercial time. We're going to have to knock one out here real quick. And when we come back, I want to talk about can cookers.
Oh, you got it.
All right. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Joe Arterburn from Arterburn Outdoors. Everything you could ever want to know about the outdoor in one place and be comfortable doing it. How's that, Joe?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I mentioned before we went to the break that we were going to talk about canned cookers, and that is something that those things are like magic.
Yeah. Near and dear to my heart.
Yes, for those that might know the old term cream can cooking, it's just a modern version of cream can cooking.
And it's a Nebraska product, too.
Exactly.
Even better.
Seth McGinn created those or brought them out on the market, and I definitely love showcasing Nebraska-based products when I'm doing my articles and whatnot. But what's your best can cooker recipe?
Oh, well, I better tell you my camp cooker story first. I was going to make your cowboy luau up in the turkey camp, and I didn't have my can cooker with me, so I thought I could get away by using a big Dutch oven, so I started building it in my 14-inch Dutch oven. I thought, this isn't going to fit.
You overgrew that real quick.
Yeah, and so I thought, I'm going to split it up into... got out a 12-inch deep oven and filled it up. Then I started, you know, kind of heating it. It's like, well, this isn't even going to cook, you know, in a Dutch oven. This needs to be pressure cooked. I mean, you can explain the recipe, but it's got a lot of stuff, but it's got to pile in there. So I was lamenting how I'm going to feed this camp full of people. And the outfitter, Corey Peterson, came in, and I said, oh, I'm supposed to have can cooker for this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. He said, oh, we got them. We use them all the time.
Oh, great.
I buy them. Yeah, so he ran home and got me two of them, actually. And so that saved the day. And I got home, I got a hold of a can cooker and kind of told them that story as a testimonial how they saved my camp. So that's actually one of my favorite recipes, just because you can load it up however you want. You know, it's got the ham, and I'm a ham and pineapple combination guy anyway, so you pile a whole bunch of ham in there, and actually it makes the corn taste pretty good too.
Yes.
I don't remember what's all in there. Oh, you're big on sweet potatoes. I'm not a big sweet potato guy.
Well, they're healthier for you, Joe.
Well, I am what I am.
Yeah, geez.
But I tell you, I did a big, over Memorial Day, I did a big kind of a seafood boil. We, you know, got some crab legs and shrimp and did a big boil in the can cooker here. And that's one thing I tell everybody, man, if you get a can cooker, go ahead and get the strainer lid so you can pour off all that liquid safely. And otherwise, you're trying to figure out how to get all that food out of there, out of all the liquid, because you use quite a bit of liquid in there to steam cook everything.
Yep.
And I know that you kind of poo-pooed my handle and latch covers, those silicone covers.
You could tell that you had the upgraded version from the ones I have.
Well, those are options, and I optioned for them just to make it easier to handle and not so many ouch, that hot type of moments. But easy way to cook.
I was going to say, other than just being an easy way to cook, They go long. You can make a lot of food, serve a lot of people out of that, and only basically have one thing to clean up. It's amazing.
Right. And, yeah, you build it and, you know, set it on you know, low heat, medium heat, and you go away. You know, it's you don't have to sit there tending the thing the whole time. So,
right. I tell people when I've got mine in camp, I said, just we're doing whatever else we're doing, but I said, keep an eye on it. Tell me when you start seeing steam vent up out of the top, and 10 minutes from that point, it's done.
Right.
It's easy to cook with. I love them. So,
right. I guess we were talking about heat sources. They have also have their own portable cooktop, I think they call it, a little one burner, so. Multi-fuel thing. So it's, I mean, that's not a bad idea either, but you can also just put them on a Camp Chef or a Coleman.
We got about a minute to go. What else you want to touch?
Good Lord, where'd the time go?
That's right. I was telling Corey at the commercial, I said, Joe and I could do an hour show easy and never have a commercial.
Yeah, man, it's tough on, I mean, there's just so many different kitchen sets and things out there. Sea to Summit has some real nice lightweight stuff. I've used GSI. I don't know. There's just a lot of things to go when you're talking about cooking in camp. You know?
Very, very good. Joe, you have a great weekend.
I'm going to.
Go cook something good.
I plan to.
If I leave now, I can be there in about 2 hours.
All right. You bet.
Thank you much. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.